One cold Christmas, Sandra Bullock proto-catfished her way into a brand new family. Several years earlier, Bill Murray learned the true meaning of not being a prick. Both While You Were Sleeping and Scrooged were the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
That might have been grammatically sound.
I think so.
It worked. It was,
I understand right. What you're saying.
It could have been better phrased. I would have rewritten it if I hadn't needed to say those specific words.
Exactly.
But hi, I'm Sean Collier. It's the number one movie in America. Okay. I'm here with a tiny fish school field trip full of movie lovers.
Yes.
Or an aquarium full of Cleveland-bound movie lovers.
I like it.
Or, hey, happy holidays, everybody. Camila Adams.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling, do.
That is the most unabashed Christmas spirit you will hear.
I love Christmas.
I'm glad one of us does. Oh, God. And Robin Hitchcock.
I guess I'll ring a bell.
Yes. Correct. And this is our first ever seasonal special.
Yay!
In October they were spooky specials, so yep. Now it's seasonal special. And by the power of random.org and Tony Goldwyn, we have two movies to talk about. So we'll just kind of split it in half and do two like short, do all the things we do, mm-hmm. and then do all the things we do again, mm-hmm. and just mm-hmm. try not to take forever with it.
Word.
So, who I had not seen While You Were Sleeping.
Really?
No.
I'd seen it a few times.
I saw it around when it came out, like on video. I remember watching it on a tiny, like, 13-inch TV in a friend's, I think, dorm room.
Nice.
Then before we get to the recap and everything, I want to get the brief revisiting takes, and I'll hold my fresh eyes for later.
Okay. I mean, I still enjoyed it. Like, I mean, it was never, like, cinematic genius for me, but I have a Sandra Bullock, I think, holds a special place in my heart.
She is America's sweetheart, yeah, now and forever.
Exactly.
This movie has the like fundamental idiot plot, though.
Yes.
Like, they just need to talk to each other.
Right.
So that was hard for me. I really, like, coming in, I was like, they eventually make it make sense, don't they? They never do.
Nope.
You just have to accept it.
Yeah.
It's all you can do.
It's like a typical Three's Company,
yes,
plot. Is what it is.
Which
it's
I think, like, we talked about on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And how you hate it. So.
And in that moment.
I'll save it for later.
I tried to find my Regal Beagle t-shirt to wear today because of that, but I couldn't find it. So.
Now imagine all of those feelings without the benefit of nostalgia and charm.
Yeah. No, you don't find Sandra Bullock charming?
I mean, yeah, but it's like.
I just imagine you was like gritting your teeth and just like.
No, I like her, but it's like, oh, there's a puppy in that swamp. That does nothing for the swamp. I'm just like, I mean, I like that puppy, but most of what's going on here is.
It's terrible. Sticky, dirty.
Who's doing the recap on this one?
Should we defy you to do a 30-second recap of each movie, or do you have 60 seconds prepared for each of these?
I have something prepared for both of them.
Nice.
One might not be 60 seconds. Might be a very much shorter.
Well, let's try to come in under 60 total seconds.
Okay.
It's right. One episode. We only have 1 minute for recapping.
Do I do both of them
by
now?
Or?
Just do While You Were Sleeping now.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
A feel-good tale of Lucy, a lonely romantic public transit worker who lusts after a man she never gets the nerve to speak to. As luck would have it, one day he gets pushed on the track and she happens to save his life on Christmas Day. While Lucy's waiting at the hospital to see if he's okay, a nurse overhears Lucy murmur to herself that she's going to marry him. Of course, the nurse assumes she's his fiancé and starts to spread the news to everyone, including Peter's overbearing but loving family. Peter is in a coma and Lucy is awkward, so clearly there is no way to clear up the confusion. Hilarity ensues as Peter's family welcomes her as his fiancé. They love her and she falls in love with them, but trouble starts when Peter's brother, Jack, shows up. He's not buying it, and he has some questions. And uh-oh, Peter already has a fiance who is just as terrible as we're sure he is. Peter wakes up, and Lucy, you have some splaining to do. Inevitably, Lucy and Jack fall for each other, and the truth comes out so they can live happily ever after.
Well, she's only going to have 3 seconds left to explain Scrooged, but that was excellent. Thank you.
I mean, she could do it. I could think of ways to right. explain Scrooged in 3 seconds, but we'll see. And we'll see how it counts. Very, very...
Lucy, you have some splaining to do.
Very well summated.
I'm so surprised that actually didn't come out in the movie, though. Like,
that's a really good point. Yeah, yeah. Missed opportunity.
Because they spoke about Ricky Ricardo.
Yeah, they did.
There's a lot of restraint.
Wait, if this the movie where they're like all good actors are tall, which is just truly false.
Right, no. Exactly. I'm like, most of Hollywood actors are extremely short.
Wasn't that, yeah, that was a trope for a while where it's like, hey, they're shorter than you think.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Led by little elf man Tom Cruise.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank God for that family. Anyway, God, Peter Boyle, man, are you here to save the day? As always, that's the whole run of Everybody Loves Raymond. Anyway, no, someone will be mad at that. Like, don't like young millennials like look at Everybody Loves Raymond.
I have
like we look at Seinfeld, like a classic.
I guess because I
wait for real, for real.
I think so.
I've never seen a full episode of Everybody Loves Raymond. I just can't.
I feel like I must have.
I'm sure it happened.
Probably not on purpose.
Right.
Yeah. You were probably in the vicinity one morning.
Right, exactly.
Career resurgence Ray Romano notwithstanding. Let's get to some numbers, and then I'll complain. While You Were Sleeping was released April 21st, 1994.
April 21st?
I know.
Are you kidding me?
It came out in
right
April.
Now?
This was not released around the holiday season. I guess that's a point for people who say it's not a Christmas movie. But Robin, you attempted to count the Christmas references.
I lost count after 15 minutes and 17 references.
Yeah.
Well, seriously though, like I'm thinking, like, how is this not a Christmas movie?
Right.
This is absolutely a Christmas
on
movie.
On Christmas Day.
But it wasn't released then. It was released April 21st. It was the 9th number one film of the year. It won its debut weekend with $9.2 million en route to grossing $81 million overall.
That's quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the time, it was the 15th highest grossing film of the year, sandwiched right in between Mr. Holland's Opus and Congo. We didn't know what we liked in the 90s.
Things that are on Disney Plus.
All three of them?
No, actually,
not Congo.
I don't think Congo. And Mr. Holland's Opus is coming in May 2020.
Why would you hold off?
I don't know, but I saw it in an ad, and I was like, Richard Dreyfuss was nominated for an Oscar, and I haven't seen that movie, and you know my ridiculous quest. And so I searched for it, and they're like, coming May 2020.
And how did like you a have... small percentage of people? Okay, this is that one that little percentage that hasn't signed up yet.
That Mr. Holland's
Opus crowd.
I wasn't sold on the 1,000 hours of content until Mr. Holland's Opus got here. How did you avoid that? That was like the family blockbuster compromise choice of a decade.
I did actually get invited to a birthday party to go see it at the theater and had to miss it because I was sick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait, you didn't get invited?
I did. Oh, okay. I did, actually. Okay. Sorry, that was not clear.
Because I thought it sounded like there was a little hardship. It was like,
well,
Janice.
I wasn't invited.
That bitch.
To Mr. Holland's Opus. While You Were Sleeping won its first weekend over the runner-up Bad Boys, the original, which a sequel is forthcoming.
For sure. They've been saying that for a while now.
I've seen the preview.
I saw a poster.
Yeah, I think it's been in the can for a while now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Bad Boys made $7 million in its third weekend for second place. The other new release that weekend was Kiss of Death, a loose remake of the film noir classic starring David Caruso, Nicolas Cage, and Samuel L. Jackson.
I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, David Caruso leaving NYPD Blue for that.
Certainly haven't seen it, but...
It's a fun-ish... Right.
And it debuted with $5.3 million for third place, and that's what you get for being fun-ish. While You Were Sleeping did win a second weekend. It actually added box office in its second weekend, which does not happen anymore. It rose...
Did it happen to Frozen 2 this past weekend?
No, not quite.
Oh, okay.
Because of 5 day it did, but 3 day it didn't.
I got it.
While You Were Sleeping did rise to $10.4 million in its second week, holding off the debuting Friday... which opened with $6.5 million, as well as John Carpenter's remake of Village of the Damned.
Does Friday hold up?
Mm. It's
Maybe it's been 5 years since I've seen it.
Okay. It's been, how long is this? 20 years since I've seen it? So
I saw it once when I was 16.
I definitely thought it was funny when I was 12.
I'm sure. It was definitely that.
Yes, absolutely.
And on that point, fewer than 150 films in history have been in wide release and gained viewers in their second weekend.
Oh, wow.
While You Were Sleeping is 79th on that list in terms of the percentage it gained. The number one biggest percentage gain in its second weekend is the Winona Ryder Little Women.
Cool.
Which made 2.4 million in its first weekend and 5.3 million in its second weekend, a gain of 181%. Unrelated fun fact, the new Little Women goes into wide release 25 years to the day after the last Little Women.
That feels right in my heart.
This might piss off a lot of people, but I don't understand why Little Women keeps getting remade every 10 years or so, or why the story is not that interesting.
Let's
to
talk
me.
About it in a little bit. Are we allowed to talk about it?
Yeah, sure.
We'll talk about it in a little bit.
We'll talk about it in a little bit. While You Were Sleeping gave up the top spot in its third weekend to the Meg Ryan, Kevin Kline rom-com French Kiss. But it did stay in the top 10 for an impressive 10 weeks, in the top 20 for 18 weeks. It was a long-legged hit throughout the summer of 1995 for some reason. And I did not enjoy it. Okay.
So just real quick note that funny thing, this was released in April. Like, the movie wasn't originally supposed to be a Christmas movie. It was
really,
yeah. The studio decided to set it at Christmas time, so it'd be easier to sell. Which makes me question why it wasn't released at Christmas.
And yet, it was a hit anyway.
Right.
Good for them. Good for everybody involved that it was a hit. She is a monster. Like, she is the villain of this story. It is only because the brother happened to think she was cute that this story ends with anything other than like a horrifying, family-shattering revelation 5 years down the line.
This is true.
I understand that she's lonely. I understand that, you know, this is the family she's always wanted. Right. And she was in kind of a sensitive situation. By the way, grandma is never actually going to die from shock, okay? No. Let's drop that trope right
That's
now.
That's also in Scrooge.
Which is also in Scrooge. Like, we lean on that a lot when it's like, grandma's going to be, grandma's seen some shit.
Right,
okay?
Exactly. That woman, this, like, you revealing that this was all just a big mix-up is not going to make her drop dead. It's okay.
No.
And also, fun fact, this was supposed to be a woman in a coma and a man, but people thought it was too predatory.
It is too predatory.
Yes.
That was more predatory. It remains too predatory.
Exactly.
One thing I object to, as an orphan, I would like to say that we're not all nut bars looking for surrogate families.
I do find it, I find it a little offensive that they make her so lonely.
Like pathetic?
Yeah, like sad, lonely, and just and like, my cat, nobody loves, only one that'll love me is fucking Joe Jr.
Right.
And yet, a lonely single person who cares about Christmas, that doesn't exist. If you have no family and no partner, maybe on December 22nd, you're like, I'll watch Scrooge today. That is the you're not putting up a tree.
Wow.
My big problem, as already identified, yes.
It's Christmas?
I'm not crazy about Christmas, but it's the Three's Company plot. It's the only reason I'm still looking at the screen is because I'm waiting for someone to admit something we all know she's going to admit later on.
Right.
That doesn't do it for me as a comedy. I laughed sometimes because the family is really great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But because she's a monster and this is a terrifying scenario and I hate this general plot construction, it did nothing for me.
Go ahead.
Also a little monstrous is Saul, because he was like, I'll handle this. And he goes to Peter and is like, he had a good plan. He's like, you talk to her for a couple minutes. If you don't fall in love, break it off. It's totally cool. But know this, everyone's going to hate you and think you're a douchebag and an a-hole for the rest of your life. And no one's going to love you if you do.
Also,
bye.
He has to know that. Peter Gallagher's character's name Peter.
Yes.
He has to know that Peter is the worst.
Right.
And so I guess he's like, he's my godson. I love him. But if he thinks that Sandra Bullock is so wonderful and charming,
right,
why would he saddle
her?
Why is he saddling her with his nightmare godson?
Exactly.
Who has framed vanity
headshots
of himself in his wallet and all around his apartment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think
him holding a tennis racket. in his wallet.
I can also be athletic. Like, I don't understand.
It's a Tinder profile is what it is. You see someone at the bar and goes, hey, here's some different looks. You're only getting one right now. Here's four others.
I'm good with dogs and kids.
I did laugh a few times. One was probably my biggest laugh of the whole film is just the kid on the paper route.
Yes.
And he falls down and then they cut away.
And that was real. That's they so just funny. Left. The dude actually broke his wrist.
No, that's terrible. No, I feel bad about how hard I laughed.
It's really great.
Because I was expecting like Sandra Bullock to be like, I need to go help him because I'm right. helping everyone. But nope, just a kid eating it.
I do always enjoy Bill Pullman is like
he's charming.
Very charming in a yeah. very smug way.
Yeah, there's something about him where like I think that maybe it's because of Spaceballs that like he imprinted on me as sexy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Because it's like he's Han Solo, so he's sexy to me, right? But there's something about him where I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Judge me.
Yes, exactly. And like I think one of my favorite scenes is where Peter is talking to Jack and at the elevator, and he's like, you know, I'm not that great, and, you know, and he's like confessing all this stuff. Right. And he's like, and the squirrel, he's like, oh, not the squirrels. Right. He's like, I knocked him out of the tree. And he's like, oh.
I wanna pretend that the Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton are the same person thing was overblown because they're very different performers, and yet I always have to go, which one of them died?
Mm. Yeah.
Wait.
Bill Paxton died?
Bill Paxton died a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, it was really sad.
Yeah. It was right before the Oscars. Jennifer Aniston started crying for some reason. Yeah.
It was like one of those things where it was kind of sudden, like he might have gotten diagnosed with something, but then died immediately
from it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah, Call Me By Your Name is dedicated to him.
Because
he showed up on set one day. Oh, I guess God. He lives in Italy. Okay. I don't know.
He had a peach, was like, here, take this.
I bet you can use this.
I think Joe Jr. was in that closet for several days. I think that is canon in this movie.
Joe Jr. upset me. Like, why is that played for laughs?
I don't, yeah, he's...
I guess she deserves it.
That's a restraining order is what that is. Because there's like a lot of sexual harassment happening right there.
Yeah, and just he doesn't leave when she tells him to leave.
No, you stood me up.
I don't know why she keeps hiding him in the closet instead. Again, this is
Three's
the
company.
Right, yeah. It was unnecessary.
Just open the door. This is my jerk neighbor. Right. He's leaving
He's
now.
He's leaving right the fuck now.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get rid of him for 7 minutes.
So is this a Christmas movie, though? They have a ton of references to Christmas.
I think because, like somebody said, furthers the plot.
Yeah,
correct?
It does.
Because she was so super lonely, and it was Christmas time, and she...
And the whole family's together it's Christmas time.
Right, and she's looking at them all lovingly as they're opening their gifts on Christmas Eve or whenever, day after Christmas.
I think that... the argument that we got bogged down in on Twitter a couple of weeks ago comes down to, does Christmas movie mean... Christmas is integral to the plot, or does Christmas movie mean this is a movie about Christmas? And I think it cannot mean a movie about Christmas.
No, because there's a lot of Lifetime movies that aren't necessarily about Christmas.
Sure, right. Hallmark. Even before we get to Die Hard, like Love Actually is indisputably a Christmas movie. It's not about Christmas at all.
Right.
It's a movie about love, actually, that happens that takes place around Christmas. Definitely a Christmas movie. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is about the same thing that all four of those movies are about. It just takes place as Christmas. Right. So if a movie is, you know, if a movie is very involved with Christmas, it's a Christmas movie, no matter whether or not it is about what the spirit of Christmas means to us. So yes, this is definitely a Christmas movie.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. All right.
I accept.
Okay.
I mean, there's end of this movie. I mean, there's really not much more. It's just like your generic love story. And also, Jack and what's his name? Lucy and Jack knew each other for a week. And he comes in with a
proposal.
Engagement. Right.
And not
and
like
dating
hey.
For a week. They knew each other in passing for
I
a week.
I think it's just because it's cute for him to put a ring in the token slot.
Boo.
I also
put two tickets to the symphony.
Right. Yeah.
Like anything.
Did they use tokens on the L in the late 90s?
I have no idea.
I've never been on the L. So For all I know, they still use
they, they still do. It's still a $1.50. There's no way it's still a $1.50. And why would he bring the whole family?
Right, if they're just going to embarrass
because
him.
Because she loves the family. She says, I can't do this.
That's what she's marrying. She doesn't care about this deep.
She says, I can't do this. I'm in love with your son. And they're like, we know. And then she says, no, your other son. And then the entire speech is about them.
Right.
He is incidental. I do think she likes him.
Oh, well, sure.
Yeah, but good I think she guy. Likes Monica Keena as much as anyone else.
Exactly. It's like, oh, we'd love to get a cup of coffee with Jack.
Right.
But you guys, I want to spend the rest of my life with you guys.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and rate it. We got another movie to talk about. Camila, what do you think?
I mean, as much as I bitch about it, I'm 86 because I still enjoy
it. Oh, wow.
Because I really enjoy it.
Is that your that is behind only Ocean's 11 for you.
It's like Sandra Bullock.
Tied with Guardians Volume 2. Wow, Robin?
I'm going to say 55.
Ooh.
Okay, big swing. Yeah. Big swing.
Like, this is definitely charming and worth watching, but it is fundamentally dumb.
It very much is.
Yes.
But I also really like Truth About Cats and Dogs. So, I mean...
Which I also really like. I haven't seen that since I was young. And that does involve the Three's Company plot. Yep.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's no. I'm going to stick with 55, but you make a strong point.
33. Okay. Someone should do the math. This might be our most
divergent.
Not the thing. Yeah, I just can't. I was really waiting for it. And the few laughs just broke it up. Sandy
it
B is great.
Short. Was it short?
No, it's like an hour 40, hour 42.
Okay, that's short these days, though.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's the first movie I watched after The Irish.
Okay, yeah, then it's short. Then it's really
absolutely.
Short.
Yeah. This is a sitcom.
Right.
57.6. Really middle of the road.
I also was close to it.
Yeah.
And Robin was incredibly close to the average.
That seems right.
It's happening organically because I didn't come up with the number. Like I looked at my numbers right on the spot. Right around the middle of our pack. The exact same number as GoldenEye. This movie is exactly the same quality
as
GoldenEye.
Wow.
According to us. Down to the hundredth decimal. Down to the repeating six.
Wow.
Feel very similar.
Numbers are, you know, completely accurate.
Right.
Yeah. This is scientific.
Dems the numbers.
Where did we get? And is because Camila hated the shit out of GoldenEye. Camila gave it a 27, Robin 77. I gave it a 69. Nice.
A 69 to a James Bond film.
So
many jokes there.
It's our first proper double feature. I know about Ant-Man and Rocky 3. That was an unofficial double feature. This is an official double feature. Hey, we also watched Scrooged.
Right.
Wasn't that fun?
Are we going to do the song for this one? Or?
Oh, yeah. Even in this format, I'm forgetting to do the song. What was the number one song in America on April 21st, 1995?
Was it Gangsta's Paradise?
No. Probably the same year.
Madonna,
the Drake of the 90s.
Yeah.
When you don't know, it was probably fails. Madonna. No, Madonna had almost 3 months atop the charts with Take a Bow.
That's what I was thinking.
That is the immediate preceding number one. Coolio wouldn't show up for about 5 more months.
All right, like in the summer, I guess.
September 9th, Gangsta's Paradise took.
Whitney?
No.
Whitney. Mariah?
No. Mariah dominated the end of the year. This is one of those songs that when it comes on now, you're like, this is like one of the best jams of all time. And we don't think about it because it was a one-hit wonder. It was essentially a one-hit wonder. Maybe he had
95.
Another hit. Maybe maybe this male R&B singer had another hit, but I don't know about it.
John B.?
No.
This Is How We Do It?
This Is How We Do It by Montel Jordan.
Oh, my. He's a preacher now.
He's a preacher
that
now.
That makes sense.
In Atlanta.
That's
yeah.
great.
Does he have a revamped version of the song about Jesus?
I don't know.
I hope so.
No one but me could possibly see. Did you see Joyful Noise with Queen Latifah?
I saw Joyful Noise.
Parton?
Yes.
I watched it when I was in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee last summer.
Oh, my.
Every now and then, I'm like, man, that version of Usher's about Jesus from the end of that movie was kind of good.
It was a bumper.
Up in the church with my homies, he sang. Up in the church with my homies, trying to get a little praise on. Scrooged. That was fun, right?
Yeah.
That's our whole review. Good night, everybody.
Right, exactly.
Camila, with the now you can just you know
I'm gonna try.
Take the win and say, listen, this is two. I did 2 60-second recaps, or you can attempt to recap Scrooged in 3 seconds on my mark.
Okay.
And go.
You're familiar with the story of A Christmas Carol, yes? Well, this one's set in New York in the 80s with a TV executive and Bill Murray.
So close.
That was really
five
good.
5 seconds.
That was really good.
But you've covered it. Right. We could talk about Karen Allen if you wanted to, but we don't really need to for the plot of this movie.
I think
movie.
We do need to talk about Karen Allen as a society.
She's like 40th on the list of possible Best Actress nominees this year for something
really?
I haven't heard of. And okay. she's nominated for an Independent Spirit Award for Best Actress.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Something you haven't heard
for
of.
For something I haven't heard
yeah,
of.
Yeah, I had to look her up on, because she was a very familiar face. I was like, I don't know if I've seen her since
she doesn't
the 80s.
Act that often.
And my husband was like, it's like, oh, Indiana Jones. I was like, oh, okay. And apparently this is one of his favorite movies. And I had no idea.
There are random people who like treasure this film, like Regina Connolly, our friend. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because if you were like kind of a dark, weird kid,
yeah,
it's the Christmas movie for you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
was
creepy.
Dan a dark, weird kid?
It is. Like when he's on the elevator with the future ghost and he looks in his peeks in his robe.
Looks back a second later. Did our guys do that? We're going to get calls. Or when the guy freezes in the sewer.
Right?
That's harrowing. Upsetting.
That's really
recently dark. Deceased Academy Award nominee Michael J. Pollard.
Really?
What for?
Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh.
I mean, that's not what killed him. That's what he's nominated for.
He was shot 92 times. That's sad.
R.I.P.
No, it's I loved this, and I mean, for a long time, I have been sitting down with beloved Christmas and or beloved 80s movies that people are nuts about and going, it's not as great as everyone who grew up with it thinks.
Christmas Vacation, A Christmas Story.
Well, Christmas Vacation I grew up with, so
okay.
It's grandfathered in. But
love me some Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Story, it's not recent. I probably sat down and watched it when I was like 17, 18, and I was like, this is kind of lame.
Right, yeah.
Like, there's a couple of bits that work. It has no, like, overarching thing.
Right.
And it's really sappy. And I'm talking about
fine.
A Christmas movie.
I think it's fine. I mean,
I don't think it needs to be
I don't know why it needs to... Exactly.
Hours.
It is not our generation's It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
Let's put
right.
it that way.
People go to the house. People put up the leg lamp in their own home year-round.
Right. I mean, to this day, I do say it's fragile-y. But that's about it.
That helped.
I think that things that aren't great can become part of our culture, and then we can still celebrate them as part of our culture.
Yeah, sure.
I don't really think there's a lot of people out there who are like, A Christmas Story is the most pure, wonderful expression of humanity on film. Like, I think they're just like, I watched it a lot as a kid and I like it. I'm not
that's
sure,
fine.
Though.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. People get weird.
I don't know. It's just... It's fine, as far as I'm concerned. I'll never own it. I don't purposefully look to watch it.
And yet you end up watching it.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Like you're not trying, and you're like in a room, and there it is. All right.
Right.
But then Vacation, I haven't seen in many years, but Regina Connolly, who loves Scrooged, hates that movie because she feels bad for Clark Griswold because he's just trying to give his family a good time.
I just think it's hilarious.
It's really funny.
And I think I just really like movies about funny, dysfunctional families.
Yes.
I agree. Scrooged, though, that's what we're talking about. No, I hadn't finished that. I'm frequently being disappointed by things that from back then that people love, and this was exactly the opposite. I was like, this is funny every scene.
Okay.
It's great. It holds up. I like all the characters. He's just enough of a dick. This
yeah.
is the reason why I like this a little bit more than What About Bob, spoiler, is because he's better at being a redeemable jerk than he is at being a lovable doofus. Like, redeemable jerk is right in the Bill Murray wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And he nails it here.
Yeah, he does.
I feel like I maybe watched this movie in a bad mood last night. So,
okay.
Sidebar, I was sure that we owned this, and I would like have stood by that. Like, I was like, yeah, obviously we should own this movie. And then we didn't. And so I was like, well, I'm buying it because we should own this. And then when I started watching it, I was like, do I like this as much as I think I do? And I definitely did. I definitely do. I think that last night, the Bill Murray... smarm level wasn't hitting exactly where it needed to for me. I was upset about Karen Allen ending up with this guy.
No, that's reasonable. It definitely lays it on thick in some sense. Like when he won't let his secretary take her child to the doctor, you're like, we knew he was a dick without this.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It was a little much over the top sometimes.
There are times when it's super funny. Like I really laughed when he was going through the list of gift people and giving them a VCR or a towel.
Right. He's like, most of these people are towels. Yeah.
And then at towel, the end, towel. You know what? Keep the VCR. It's a write-off anyway.
Exactly.
Here's some information. Scrooge was released November 23rd, 1988. So in the Christmas season. In fact, on Thanksgiving weekend. The 26th number one of the year. It won its debut weekend with $13 million en route to grossing $60.3 million overall. This is our second Bill Murray vehicle, as mentioned. They did the same in box office. Scrooge, $13 million, opening $60.3 million. Finish, what about Bob? $9 million and a $63.7 million finish 4 years later. These are very similarly performing Bill Murray comedies. It was the 13th highest grossing film of the year. That year was packed with hit comedies, all ahead of Scrooged on that year's final list. Coming to America, Big, Twins, Crocodile Dundee 2, Naked Gun, Beetlejuice, and Fish Called Wanda all finished ahead of Scrooged.
Oh, wow.
Big year for comedies that you can get on DVD at Target. It finished that
probably
weekend.
Probably all together.
But yeah, it's probably all set. It finished that weekend ahead of two animated films, Land Before Time in second and Oliver and Company in third. That would be on Disney Plus. Both of those were in their second weekends. The other new release that weekend was Cocoon The Return, which opened in fourth with $5.5 million. It only won one weekend, fell to second in its the following week behind the debuting Naked Gun. Scrooge dipped slowly. It is the rare film that was literally first in its first weekend, second in its second weekend, third in its third weekend, and fourth in its fourth weekend. Obviously dropped off pretty quickly after Christmas. It still hung around in the top 10 for 7 weeks. And it's pretty low on the Bill Murray chart. Box Office Mojo sold out to IMDb or acknowledged that long ago they had sold out to IMDb, so we can't get that chart anymore. But we talked about this in What About Bob. It is not in his top 10 movies.
Scrooge is not in his top 10 movies.
It is not.
Huh. That's surprising, just considering how many people love this movie.
Right.
And I realized that this is the first time I've watched it all the way through. I had never seen it before. I'd probably just seen bits and pieces of it.
It's
funnier when you watch the whole thing.
It really is.
I think that then that is a credit to its quality.
Right, right.
Like there's little things that pay off in a way that they don't when they're isolated bits.
Like Bobcat's slow descent into madness.
Yes.
Bill Murray's top three
great performance.
Are The Jungle Book remake, then Ghostbusters Tootsie, Charlie's Angels, Ghostbusters 2, Stripes, Space Jam is in there somewhere. How great are these three ghosts? Especially Carol Kane.
Oh, God.
The best.
Steals Carol Kane. The movie.
Always Carol a delight. Kane. I love her so hard.
I recently watched the movie for which she was nominated for an Oscar, Hester Street, where it's like a straight drama about being a Jewish immigrant in New York.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, wow, I'm really glad you found yourself.
How long? When was
74,
this
I think.
Man.
Yeah. It's like, it's not a comedy. She's great in it. Right. But I'm like, I'm so glad that the Carol Kane that we know and love got to come to the fore.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, so great.
And Buster Poindexter.
Buster Poindexter. I didn't realize that was not
his actual name.
Yeah. Or even that's not what his like Hollywood name was. It was just for
that one
song or whatever.
Hot, hot, hot.
Yes.
Yes. Now he was in the New York Dolls. Like they were a real band.
Jeez. Yeah. And yeah. Like, and he's still working like as a composer for a lot of movies.
And I will always call him Buster Poindexter.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You did it to yourself.
I just looked up with it and still don't know what his real name is.
No idea.
Did the same thing. He's so good.
He's great.
And he's not really an actor.
No.
Like, he didn't do 30 other things.
That's right.
Like, but he's like, I forgot it was him, and I was like, what, like...
Niagara Falls.
What, like, veteran film noir guy is coming out of retirement to play? Oh, it's the singer from the New York Dolls. What the hell? It's so good.
Speaking of veteran noir guys, Robert Mitchum?
Hell yeah.
What?
Big ups. Robert Mitchum looking dashing.
He does look dashing.
I really want to watch, what's the name of the film that's the first thing we see? The Night the Reindeer Died?
Yes.
I would watch that beginning to end right now. as I would watch the Christmas Carol that,
with the solid gold dancers.
With the solid gold dancers.
J.B. Farr.
From around the world, Helsinki, West Germany. Oh, man.
Now, you guys aren't too young to know, like, you understand who the Solid Gold Dancers are.
I am familiar with the concept of the Solid Gold Dancers.
When he makes out with her at the end. It's a federal law. It's not just a state thing.
Also, the nipples.
Yes.
You can hardly see the nipples.
And these guys are really looking.
I loved that bit.
And Alfre Woodard, that kind of like knocked me off my couch for a second.
Okay, like, oh, so I'm trying to think now. So Academy Award nominees in Scrooge.
Mm-hmm.
Alfre Woodard.
Mm-hmm.
Michael J. Pollard. Mm-hmm. Carol Kane.
Wow.
Bill Murray, obviously, mm-hmm. after the fact. Anne Ramsey's in it for a hot second. Who's from Throw Mama from the Train.
Which one?
She's one of the people in the shelter.
Oh. Mm-hmm. You mean Large, not Large Marge, but she was in the Goonies.
Is she Large Marge?
She's not Large Marge, but she okay. was from the Goonies. She was one of the,
oh, okay.
she was Mama.
Oh, was she? Yeah. I just always think of Throw Mama from the Train. Yeah. I'm right. Goonies
Correct.
Is my Christmas story where I'm like, it's fine.
Right.
Oh, I'm the same way. Like yeah. we've been over this, including on the podcast, like,
we don't have time to talk about Goonies.
We'll draw it another day.
And right. then I don't think that Robert Mitchum ever was nominated, though, which is a
not
travesty.
Even for Night Cape of the Fear, Night of the Hunter, so. Night of the Hunter, man.
Night of the Hunter,
Shit.
What a great movie.
Oh, my God. How right? is he not nominated for that?
The Academy has always been wrong.
Ugh.
The IMDb claims that one of those street musicians that he bitched about was Miles Davis.
Really?
What?
IMDb trivia says the leader of the street musicians insulted by Bill Murray is Paul Schaefer. The others are Miles Davis, David Sanborn, and Larry Carlton.
I wasn't looking hard enough, but I did remember enjoying the tune that they were playing.
Yeah, oh no, yeah, they were doing well. The first thing on IMDb trivia is that Bill Murray and Richard Donner did not get along at all, which we also talked extensively about What About Bob, how Bill Murray and...
Right.
And,
Bill Murray seems like kind of a dick.
I think he might be a
He's
jerk.
He's probably one of the hard person to get along with.
Yeah.
He's a national treasure.
Right.
He's one of the funniest people ever. We all appreciate that year when he was wandering into people's house parties. But like...
He applied for a job at a P.F. Chang's at an airport.
Are you serious?
That's... Yes, this is all hilarious, but like at a certain point, the thing about the answering machine becomes like a little like, okay.
We get it.
Yeah.
You're eccentric.
But so it should make you feel better that when the Ghost of Christmas Past, played by Carol Kane, grabbed Bill Murray's lip, she tore it so badly that filming was halted for several days.
Oh, wow.
That'll get you back.
Way to go, Carol.
No, I just legit, I would watch it again today. I really would.
I didn't realize the man that plays his father is his father. And, you know, I've seen this man in like a million things.
Older brother.
That's his much older brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other brother is actually his brother too,
yes,
right?
Yes. Apparently he has 9 brothers or 8 brothers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
The dinners, my God!
Can you imagine?
and not like I wish I was there. Like
no.
You couldn't take a bite without somebody.
Anyway. No, oh, nice shout out of Tab. Like I mean, not even like just vodka and Tab. Like the
that sounds like a great drink to me. I'm not really into vodka, but Tab is a wonderful mixer.
Oh my God!
Wait, what is Tab? I thought Tab just tasted like Diet Coke.
I don't even know what Tab tastes like.
It is Diet Coke without caffeine, but it doesn't taste weird like. Caffeine-free Diet Coke tastes.
So, fucked up water. You're describing fucked up water.
With caramelized
Yeah, I like
coloring.
Tab. When I couldn't have Diet Coke in South Africa, Tab was my drink.
Do they still make Tab?
They do. Yeah, they make Coke owns it. They make
oh
it.
Oh, my God.
And when I don't know if this is still true, but when I lived in Seattle, the grocery store close to... I didn't live in Seattle. I lived in the suburbs. And the grocery store close to my house was the grocery store that carried Tab. And so you'd see people just show up and just fill a cart with Tab and go check out.
Oh, my God.
Doing their Tab run in the East End.
Listen,
God bless you.
If there was one place that had Coke Zero, I would do the same thing. I'm sorry. Coke Zero Sugar. They messed it up.
That's dumb.
Anyway, I'm sure we have You Can't Handle the Truth to get to, so we should rate Scrooged. I'm going first, and I'm giving it my highest rating.
Ooh, yay.
Of an 82.
Wow.
That is my highest rating to date.
That's a very low highest rating.
It is, yeah. Actually, but, you know,
no, I'm
he's
saving
a tough crowd.
It. We haven't landed on Jurassic Park yet, which I imagine to be in the 90s.
So I feel very similarly. I'm going with an 81.
Mm-hmm.
72.
That is much less divergent than the previous choice. That will land at a 78 and a third. How close is that to our top all time? It is third overall in our first year, behind only Ocean's 11 and What About Bob? Two of our top three movies.
That's acceptable.
Old Mara.
Yeah, actually, my rating was like 1 point below What About Bob? Because that's kind of how I graded. It's like, do I like this more or less than What About Bob?
Well, congratulations to Scrooged for closing out the year strong. We will be drawing the first film of 2020 shortly. Yay. But before that, it's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. We've all watched movies. Camila watched two of them.
In a theater!
What'd you go see?
I saw, just get it out of the way, 24 Bridges.
I think it's 21.
Bridges. Yeah, whatever.
However many there were. Yeah.
How was it?
Whatever. It was terrible.
Was it violent?
It was violent, but that's not even what... The script was terrible.
Shame.
And it's like, you know, 10 years ago, Denzel Washington would have been Chadwick.
Yeah.
In that role, but it's just the script made no sense. So that's all I'm saying about that. But Knives Out.
Oh, man, I'm so mad at my family that I haven't been able to see Knives Out yet. But is it good?
It's great. I love a murder mystery.
Yeah.
And also, again, dysfunctional families, which is hilarious. Dysfunctional, white, overprivileged, rich families. Hilarious. So
particularly getting their comeuppance. Isn't that great? You know what the double feature you should do? Dependable Drive-In. Get on this. Is with...
Ready or Not?
Ready or Not, because it's the same setting. It's just one is a wacky murder mystery comedy, and one is a high concept horror movie.
Is that the Japanese?
No, that's like a low budget American horror movie where they're playing hide and seek with the girl that just married into the rich family, and if they find her, they kill her.
Yes, I want to see that movie. I want to see that movie.
But Knives, I saw Knives Out as well. What just a genuine good time at the theater.
Yeah,
right.
Toni Collette always hilarious to me. She's a great actress. I love
she's
seeing
wonderful.
Her in just like anything. And it's nice to see Captain America
in something, a nice sweater.
Exactly. And like, even though like he's done a lot of stuff before he was Captain America, but it's nice to see him in a different role after.
Did you see that he shared those memes with him wearing like a satin bonnet?
I didn't see that he shared them. Bless your soul.
Yes.
It was nice to see Don Johnson. It's nice to see Nash Bridges is getting along.
It was a really good cast. Like
I'm excited to see it.
Yeah.
Genuinely delightful. Robin?
So I watched The Irishman.
Oh, okay.
And we talked about it last week, so I will confirm it is long.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that...
Still long.
Still long. I did, despite myself, like it very much. And in particular, I liked Robert De Niro's performance. Like, I think it might be... in his top five ever, which is a big deal, and definitely his top performance of this century.
Does it feel long when you're watching it? Or
yes and no. It moves.
That's correct.
It moves,
but you feel like you were sitting there for 3.5 hours.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, the question is, should this have been a 4-episode series that was a little longer?
Right.
And either that or a shorter movie.
I think shorter movie is actually the right answer. I think there's fat to trim, and the last episode would have been really hard to watch.
Yeah.
So I liked that it was the end of the movie instead of a standalone misery capsule.
It might sneak into my top 10 for the year. It's very good. It's not the savior of cinema that Martin Scorsese thinks it's going
to
be.
But. I am also continuing. I'm annoyed how much I like it because I continue to be annoyed by film bros on Twitter who are mad at people for having children and watching it in chunks. God. Yeah. People are the worst. Anyway. I did like it.
I'm just mad at anyone who's like, this is the best thing I've seen. It. No, it isn't.
Stop lying to yourself.
If you think that, you wanted it to be, which we all do on some things. But like, clearly, this is not without its problems.
Right. I also thought the blue eyes were very distracting.
Yeah, sometimes.
Is that a gang or actual blue eyes?
that whole scene in the middle where they went and rumbled with the blue eyes.
I wish. No, they give De Niro blue eyes for no reason other than to make him look like John Feitner. Yeah, okay. If I can buy Al Pacino being racist against Italians, I can buy Robert De Niro as a brown-eyed Irishman.
or buy Al Pacino being Cuban 40 years ago.
Right, exactly. So I saw that. I saw the Mr. Rogers movie, the actual name of which I refuse to remember.
Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Thanks. There's a Mr. Rogers documentary and there's a Mr. Rogers movie, and that is what I will call them for the rest of my life.
Right.
It was fine.
It was fine.
It's fine. He did not disappear in the role to me. I don't think he should get pick up nominations on
You're just very aware this is Tom Hanks.
The entire time, Tom Hanks is Mr. Rogers. The other thing I wanted to point out, though, is that like a full 10% of the movie is shot in the alley behind the Arcade Comedy Theater.
Yes. It is.
And it is so weird. It is so weird. And Sean mentioned offline, like part of it is because there aren't really alleys in New York City.
Oh, really?
So that's one level of weirdness. I never lived in New York, so I don't care about that.
I'm almost certain it was a 99% invisible episode. If not, it was some other podcast. Points out that one of the big challenges for location scouts in New York is every screenplay that's set in there contains a scene in an alley.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no alleys in Manhattan. Really? Picture walking around Manhattan. You are walking down the street and there's a continuous wall of buildings until you get to an intersection. And if you turn in any direction, it's still a continuous wall of buildings to the next intersection. There are like four alleys in all of Manhattan.
Wow.
So since despite the fact that those scenes in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood took place in New York, they were written in an alley, so they had to film it in Pittsburgh. And it's behind Arcade.
What? I'm Park just confused as to why there's so many alleyways in a movie about Mr. Rogers.
The journalist character lives in a, you know, industrial type apartment, and it has only its only entrance is in the alleyway.
They also shot a lot of that across the street from our office, my office, and which is also like behind Arcade.
Yeah.
So
I didn't talk about that on. I haven't seen it when we recorded the Finding Dory episode. I loved it. That's close. I think that's like my number two for the year.
Oh, wow.
Right now.
It's way better than, it's a movie about daddy issues, which is usually my least favorite movie. Mm. And it's, I did
Ahead
care.
Of, that and Sadstronaut.
Yeah, Sadstronaut's the worst, but if the Sadstronaut has daddy issues, oh boy.
Yeah. Anyway,
wrap it up. Send it home.
Do either one of you hold like a special place? Does Mr. Rogers hold a special
place? I watched Mr. Rogers as a kid. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it. I liked the I didn't like the documentary nearly as much as I liked.
I loved the documentary. I lost my mind during the documentary.
And that I went into it certainly not cynically, but I went into it apprehensively because it's like, man, am I in trouble if I don't like this.
Oh, right? Sure.
And it just broke me down completely in my interview with the film's director, Mariel Heller.
That's right.
She talked about how she comes from a theater tradition and she wants movie audiences to be more active participants in experiencing a movie. Mm-hmm. And there are some moments that I won't spoil.
That moment is fantastic.
Right. And I think being someone who loves experiential art, that elevated it for me in what was already a really great project that could have been the sappiest thing on earth. But because she's such a great director, it just totally landed for me.
Can we take it back to Scrooge for a second?
Yes, sure. Please.
One thing I thought about as the movie ends and he addresses the audience and like tells them to sing Put a Little Love in Your Heart.
Mm-hmm.
How awkward would it be to slowly shuffle out of a movie theater while that's going on? Or to sit silently while it's happening?
Excuse me.
Looking around and like, are we doing this?
The poor ushers.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, did anyone on earth actually sing along?
Can I tell a slightly impolite story?
Yes.
Always.
Speaking of the ushers. I shouldn't be sharing this with anybody.
You can let me know if you want me to cut it.
The other night, I'm in the movie theater. There's five people in there. Four of them leave. I'm alone, and so I fart, right? Because I've been sitting here for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And you gotta let it go, man. And now we're alone.
Right.
So 2 minutes later, the usher comes in to clean up and looks at me and says, excuse me, does it smell weird in here? It's like, what did you think, dude? What?
This person is unfamiliar with the social contract.
Right, exactly.
Right.
You just keep it moving.
I was alone
nothing.
In a big room.
Right.
I was stunned.
What did you say?
I said that I was a little panicked because I was like, what kind of a call out is it? So I think I said, no, not right now. Which I don't know what I was implying.
Right, just implying that it was.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Had you gotten here like 5 minutes ago.
You're smelling a few minutes ago.
May I recommend, mm-hmm. if you don't mind lying, saying, mm-hmm. I have no sense of smell.
And then just trying to just get like a little Denzel right. glory tear. Just one. So, and slowly walk away. Just gather your things.
That kind of broke up my, you know, post-film analysis of Queen and Slim, which I thought was very good. We won't get into that particular round of Twitter controversy. I don't know if it'll show up on my ballot, but I liked it a whole lot.
Preemptive Twitter controversy, going back to your why make Little Women? Yeah. I don't think that there's a valid answer to that question. And yet, I am the equivalent of the fanboy who wants Batman every 5 years. Mm-hmm. I want a new Little Women every 5 years.
I mean, I guess, you know what? Yeah. No, not shitting on anybody who enjoys it. It's just it never resonated with me.
Right.
Like I read the book or saw, I don't know, at some point, I know the story.
Right.
But it was just like, okay.
And I think that in particular, it's frustrating this movie has just blanket whiteness
mm-hmm.
when that's not really necessary.
Right.
Like, first of all, we have a lot of straight Little Women adaptations.
Mm-hmm.
Take it and turn it into something else
right.
that isn't just for white girls.
Right.
Or also, like, she kind of puts some black women in as window dressing mm-hmm. and it's like gross.
Right.
And it's like, it feels like really obvious that mm-hmm. that's going on.
Right.
So that sucks, and I'm like fully prepared for like the full dialogue around that movie to be like, Greta Gerwig, why
right.
your white feminism is showing. But also, I loved it so much.
Very, very difficult times we live in.
I love that book. I love that story, and all the acting is the characters are
the cast is
the cast is phenomenal. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And then most importantly to me is that this is the first time I've ever believed that Laurie loves Amy, and that healed a wound that's been inside of me for many years, because I had multiple rejected suitors of my sisters turn to me.
Oh my. My.
You have sisters?
Sister. One perfect sister named Becky.
We've done this before. Becky,
we did her brother before. This is the biannual revelation of a family member.
I talked about her on the podcast last week. Her name is Becky.
No, you did. You did.
Anyway.
No, I enjoyed Little Women a lot. That's a problem. There are.
I also want to say it's told out of order. Mm. And for about a half hour, I was like, this seems pointless. That does eventually pay off. So
it
just
really
accept
does.
It.
Someone's like Guy Ritchie's version.
Yeah, I was like, are you doing this? I was like, is she doing this just to counter claims that there's no need for a new Little Women? But like, Little Women, but what if we did it out of order? But it pays off. And Sean also had a really great writer's explanation of it, which I liked. Do you want to save that for your written review?
I'll save that. No.
Okay.
It's just because it sounds cheesy when you say it out loud. It's like you're flipping through a book. It's like you're like, you've read this book 100 okay. times, and you're opening to a page and you read that page, and then you flip ahead and you read a chapter there, and then you go back and
I want to go read the part
together.
Where she burns off her hair.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, it's
thumbs up.
Definitely thumbs up. There are like the problem that you mentioned. Absolutely. And there's like six scenes that don't belong in the movie that knocked it down a little bit for me. I'm thinking about, not literal window dressing, but I just watched Dark Waters, the Mark Ruffalo.
I'm really excited to watch that and be annoyed by it.
Legal thriller thing. Well, don't let me prejudice you
is
too much.
Is his name Ruffalo?
I thought it was Ruffalo.
It's Ruffalo. Okay. I say Ruffalo for some reason. I've been corrected on this twice in the past 24 hours.
I wish
he'd
Ruffalo me.
That's too good to make a like reasoned movie complaint. Anne Hathaway plays his wife.
Okay.
You don't get credit for putting a female character in your movie if you don't do anything with her. If you're like,
right.
Well, we could have made it an hour and 50-minute movie with no major female characters, but instead it's a two-hour movie with one underwritten wife who gets three scenes to complain. Not
no,
better.
Thank you.
Not better.
Pass.
See also The Irishman, but.
Oh, God. Oh, Bill Pullman's in it, too.
Yes. That's true.
Yeah, I don't know where I stand on this whole Irishman thing, but see my pinned tweet at Hitchdive.
It was the first thing you said to me.
Yeah, like it is distracting. It's like the blue eyes. I'm like, I'm not sure that this actually makes the film worse, but it is distracting.
You have actual Anna Paquin there.
Yeah.
Just conspicuously not speaking.
Is her top off a four-hour movie? Is her top off?
No.
Because I swear to God, I have not seen a movie or a TV show with Anna where I don't see Anna Paquin's tits. Mm. And I'm sick of it.
Well, probably when she was a child. Probably.
Yeah, her tits are not in the piano.
Correct. I don't know if we want to talk about it before, but it's I had a recommendation like of a parody of Little Women that I wanted to tell you about.
Oh, yes, please.
My friends, they had this filmmaking group years ago called Period Films.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do just like, you know, YouTube videos and stuff. And so there's like a series, like maybe four or five of like if the Little Women, they had like YouTube videos. And
yes.
So like she's like doing like a makeup tutorial, God. And like she's like doing her little diary. And I think it's Joe, but I'm not sure.
Oh my gosh.
It's Periods Film. Just look it up on YouTube.
Okay. That sounds awesome.
Civil War. My dad's there, which is super annoying, and like, come home.
We are back to normal. It's not the holidays. It is not a auction winner. Hello, Dan.
Hi.
We are just drawing a movie, which will be the first thing you hear from us in the new decade. And that film will be, the number is 715. 715 is the number. We will be starting the year with a movie called Maximum Risk.
That sounds great.
What is that? No one knows.
That's Sylvester? No, that's Maximum Overdrive.
What?
Or something. Maximum Risk.
This is what I'm always hoping for, honestly.
What year is this?
Me too.
I've looked at this so much that I'm just hoping to land on something and go, well, what the hell is that? Maximum Risk from 1996, so it's a little later.
What?
96? I thought for sure
it was like
82.
Awake and around.
Right, exactly. I was in the theaters in 96 on a regular basis.
Maximum Risk is a 1996 American action thriller film directed by Hong Kong director Ringo Lam in his American directorial debut and starring Jean-Claude Van Damme and Natasha Henstridge.
Okay.
There's also a possibility that I own this because we got a JCVD multi-pack.
Nice.
There was a minute
I was really into JCVD.
It's an action movie we've never heard of. It's not that long. I am thrilled.
Me too.
I'm all about it, man. Let's see what this is about.
Cool.
Spoiler alert. We were saying, do we have vetoes or don't we? Because we're not recording in a new year, but we kind of went, we don't. Unless we really need them.
I have a question.
We don't.
What was the number one song when Scrooge came out?
I was going to get to that. I was legitimately... Listen, all I have to do is have to do it twice in one episode, and I'm going to remember. That's what I was scrolling to now.
I promise.
Scrooged, again, was released November 23rd, 1988, Thanksgiving of 1988. As people drove home to their houses of origin that winter, what was the number one song in America?
Don't Worry, Be Happy?
No.
Was it Madonna?
It was still not Madonna.
Was it
Whitney or Mariah?
It's too early for Mariah.
Oh, that's right.
And it was not Whitney.
Manila Vanilli?
That is not what their name was.
Millie Vanilli?
Did I say Manila Vanilli?
You said Manila Vanilli. The Millie Vanilli cover band from the Philippines. No.
Who don't even show up, let alone not sing for the show. So it is Milli Vanilli?
It is not Milli Vanilli, no.
Bobby Brown.
No, no one is. No one is within a mile of it.
Damn.
I'll tell you that.
Give us some clues then, buddy.
There's a lot of hair going on here.
Poison?
Poison would take it by Christmas. The Christmas number one, not a thing in America, but the Christmas number one was Every Rose Has Its Thorn. But no.
White Snake?
No, not
a
White
Snake.
A lot
of hair. Are we on the right path here with Poison and White
Snake?
No,
you should go to New Jersey.
Bon Jovi?
Bon Jovi with...
And I'm out. I don't know any Bon Jovi songs, really.
Wanted Dead or Alive?
No, you would be here for an hour. It's Bad Medicine by Bon Jovi.
I absolutely never would have gotten that.
I could have gotten it with a pun clue or something.
Oh, I didn't even know that is that one.
You need to play some short form improv, Sean.
By the way, after this one, I'm switching to albums. Like, obviously, we haven't exhausted every number one hit ever, but just like on even numbered years, it'll be the number one album in America, just for a little bit of variety.
Okay. I'm not going to know the answers to any of those, though.
I think you will.
I don't really know albums.
Would
I
we get
songs?
1995. Yeah. It's Jagged Little Pill. You're right. Okay. There you go.
All right.
Well, I would think we should get points, though, for knowing like if the song from this album.
Sure.
Or is the album with the song.
Work backwards from there.
Yeah.
If this doesn't work next time, okay. I'll abandon it quickly.
Cool. That sounds good to me.
I'm all for it.
Happy holidays, everyone. Watch Scrooged and not while you were sleeping. God. The worship got heavy.